the Zone. Talk to John Bryce. Man, there's a lot going on in the college football world. John Bryce joins us from a myriad of places, but Football Scoop being the main one now. John, put on your Football Scoop hat, and let's talk about all that's going on in the college football world. First of all, in this COVID year, I had some people who told me before the season, man, budgets are going to be so restrained. I just wonder how many coaches might get fired this year. And we're seeing, despite COVID, business as usual.
Well, that's a great point, Mickey, but I don't think it's only just business as usual. I think to a certain extent, it's business because of COVID. I know for certain in talking with people in the Carolinas that South Carolina examined its situation and worried very sincerely about apathy setting in on that program. Look, everybody in America, I think, as we've discussed before, is sitting around with 20,000 or fewer fans in the stands for the most part, week in and week out. Nobody wants to think about restrictions being lifted by the time next football season rolls around and still only having 15 or 20,000 fans in the stands. And so I honestly think that and people who know numbers and finances a lot better than me and are much smarter than me also believe that the economics of the situation is somewhat being driven by COVID and the fear of apathy and its impact on the finances.
So you mentioned South Carolina. They cut ties. Southern Miss, I guess, was the first to cut ties with their coach. It was right after the season started, but we've seen South Carolina do it, the first in the SEC. What's the latest on that search and how they might be leaning? Because, I mean, we got signing day. If you were trying to get a coach there before signing day, you're under 2 weeks now.
Yeah, signing day, the early signing period opens 2 weeks from today and just runs through Friday the 18th, and then it goes dead for a bit. And then, of course, there'll be the traditional signing day in February. That early signing day really ratchets up the time frame on a lot of these moves. And I've talked with folks in the Carolinas today who think that that search could be wrapped up by the end of this weekend. I 100% believe that Billy Napier and Shane Beamer remain the two most prominent candidates there. I do believe, from talking with folks, that South Carolina has at least discussed that position with former Atlanta Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. Again, I think Beamer and Napier are the ones who have had the best interviews and remain the top two priorities for South Carolina. There could be another unnamed candidate kind of lurking out there. I don't think whatsoever that it's Josh Satterfield at Louisville, as some folks have projected.
Yeah, I wouldn't move from that one place to that other place if I were him. John Bryce from Football Scoop on with Blaine and Mickey here on 104.5 The Zone.
Well, Bryce, first, thanks for coming on, man, with Football Scoop. But give us some scoop on the Vandy. Who are some of the leading candidates for this job here locally, right here in Nashville?
Well, you know, obviously Jeff Monken is the guy in the mix there. He's been obviously at very disciplined, rigorous places, currently at Army right now. He was in the mix at Missouri a year ago. He runs a unique offense, but I think it's important to note that Jeff also is the guy who believes very strongly in tailoring his personnel to a system, not trying to – or tailoring his system to match his personnel, not trying to force his personnel into his system. And I think that's important. I think the really good coaches are the ones who examine their roster, build their roster, and tailor what they want to do offensively and defensively based on the personnel at hand, and not the coaches that try to force it the other way around. So there is some evolutionary nature there in what Jeff Monken wants to do. He does obviously run the option extremely well. They are a matchup nightmare. I think that Vanderbilt, there's no reason that Vanderbilt in that scenario couldn't have the same type of success that Georgia Tech did for a number of years before Paul Johnson sort of had things wane off at that program. So Jeff Monken's a guy absolutely in the mix. We all know Jeff Fisher would like to be in the mix there. Another NFL name that I heard in connection with a couple of different jobs, including this week the Vandy job, is none other than fired Houston Texans coach Bill O'Brien. I'm told he definitely has an itch to at least explore returning to the college game and has reached out to some folks to indicate some interest in the Vanderbilt job. Will Healy is a natural. He's a great marketer. He's done great things in turning around programs in very short order, obviously really rejuvenated that Austin Peay program and left it in great shape for his successors. And then he had unprecedented success in his first year at Charlotte. It's been a tough season for them this year. Obviously, they just canceled the game this week. But yeah, those are some guys definitely in the mix. I don't think you can ignore a Jamie Chadwell, especially if they're able to beat Liberty this weekend and kind of wrap up that perfect regular season that they've been working toward over at Coastal Carolina. So those are kind of some of the guys I think that stick out the most right now at Vanderbilt.
I was hearing the Midday 180 talk about Huff, assistant coach there with Alabama. Have you heard any of those, back channels that he would be interested in the job?
Blaine. Absolutely. Charles Huff was on my list of initial candidates on Sunday for Football Scoop, and is somebody whose name we've heard a lot, both Charles Huff and Josh Gattis, the Michigan offensive coordinator. Both those guys have ties to Vanderbilt's most successful period of the modern era when they were on staff there with James Franklin. So I absolutely believe that they'll get serious looks. I would also throw in maybe Buffalo coach Lance Leopold into that mix. I think he is somebody who's had proven success everywhere he's been. He's having another good season at Buffalo. He's a little bit older, but his track record is indisputable. And I think from speaking with people close to him, there would at least be some interest there cracking into that Power 5 level at a place like Vanderbilt.
Well, I wanted to ask you before I get it back to Mickey about the rumors there at Texas, and that Tom Herman may be, you know, moving on, and that they're going to go after Urban Meyer. Do you think some of this is true, and that his wife, Urban Meyer's wife, was in Austin looking for property? Is that a coincidence?
I am told that Urban Meyer and his wife this past weekend were in Napa Valley. So I would be surprised. and that's direct from people in Columbus that are on an extremely first name basis with Urban. So I would be skeptical of the property. I do know with absolute certainty that Texas has interest in Urban Meyer and has had interest in Urban Meyer really since that Texas season started to slide off the rails this year. So I don't think that any of the developments that we're hearing about now are necessarily new developments. There's just, there's no guarantee that Tom Herman could save his job even by winning out and going to the Big 12 championship. But I do think that we've seen kind of the writing on the wall, so to speak, since they really blew that game at home over the weekend to Iowa State, sending Cyclones to their first ever Big 12 championship game. So Tom Herman, I think he wouldn't address his future yesterday, said strictly he's focused about Kansas State. If you were so inclined for those types of wagers, you would have a hard time putting any money on the underdog Tom Herman returning to Texas next year. And, yeah, there is legitimate interest in Urban Meyer, but Urban Meyer could have his choice of jobs. And I would not rule out Urban Meyer being in the mix for some NFL jobs after talking with people in Columbus for the last 2 to 3 weeks.
Wow, we're on with John Bryce, who knows all in college football with Football Scoop. Giving us the scoop.
So let me ask you about my old buddy, Hugh Freeze. I had a long talk with somebody a few weeks ago, Bryce, and this person was telling me, hey, man, he loves it at Liberty. He makes a lot of money. You know, it's not a place where you got to win 12 games and beat Nick Saban every year. But this person did tell me, you know, he's the guy who thinks he can win a national championship. He knows he can coach well enough to do that. And I would imagine if one of the – and this wasn't – this is my friend talking. He said, I would imagine if an opportunity like that came up, a school where you could legit win a national championship, you know, that's a phone call he's going to take. What are you hearing? People had him going to South Carolina, and I said, no way. I thought he would hold out for, again, and it's a good job, but it's not historically a place where you can win championships. What are you hearing about Freeze?
Yeah, that's a great question and a couple of great points backing up one you already made, Mickey, about Satterfield at Louisville. Louisville right now is absolutely a better job than South Carolina. Matter of fact, somebody in the industry today who told me 100% Louisville is a better job than South Carolina right now. Probably for a number of different reasons, but especially if you're South Carolina, you've got Clemson with unprecedented success, not only in its program, but really only equaled by Alabama in the last 20 years for the run that Clemson's on. And that's right down the road from you. So there are a number of detractors for that South Carolina job. I think if Texas takes its swing at Urban Meyer and it goes the way I expect it to, I would be shocked and would think it would be crazy for Texas's second call not to be into the Hugh Freeze territory, the Steve Sarkisian territory. Those guys, I think Sark is going to get another chance at a big-time Power 5. He turned down a couple of those in the last couple of years. I believe he could have had both Colorado and Mississippi State. So I think he has rehabbed his career and done a great job with Alabama. You talk to Lane Kiffin, he'll tell you in a heartbeat. Sark's taking that offense to even new levels, and Kiffin did a great job there. But, yeah, if Hugh Freeze can win a national championship, he 100% would listen to Texas. There are a handful of jobs out there that Hugh Freeze would listen to and that I think he would be a great fit. And it's scary to think what Hugh Freeze might be able to do at Texas with some a roster filled full of the Lone Star talent, the most talent-rich state in the country.
I know there's a bunch of people on Rocky Top who like to take a swing at Hugh Freeze as their coach, at getting Hugh Freeze, I mean.
Yeah, there's no question. And I think Hugh Freeze has strong allies in the state of Tennessee. I know he does. He's got some high school coaches that really believe in him in the state of Tennessee. A lot of coaches look at the ladder that he climbed to get to Ole Miss. And did a lot of good things. And for all the people who talk about second chances and whether or not somebody does or does not deserve, well, first of all, I firmly believe we all deserve second chances. And Lord knows I've had my screw-ups. But I would say also you've got Bruce Pearl sitting in the SEC right now. His team is once again forfeiting any type of postseason appearance that it might have, even though they're terrible right now. The other thing is Bruce Pearl had a 3-year show cause. Hugh Freeze had a 1-year show cause. And so I think there is significance there in the different lengths of those penalties. I think that Hugh Freeze has served his sentence, so to speak, for the NCAA and the SEC, and I think he deserves an opportunity back in the SEC if somebody wants to hire him. And, I would fully expect Hugh Freeze to be successful anywhere he goes, be it Tennessee, Texas, or anywhere else, whenever that time is.
Is there any way that Pruitt's seat could just get on fire enough for his tenure to, if he lost out, let's say the game against Vandy winds up getting rescheduled, if they lost out, would that be it for him, or is nothing going to matter? He's going to be back next year.
You know, speaking with some people in Knoxville over the last 24 to 48 hours, I don't think you can take anything off the table because of the heat that's already building there, the fact that they've got a really, really good Florida team coming in this weekend. It's my understanding Tennessee may very well be without significant players and starters on both sides of the football due to COVID and contact tracing, again, including some starters. So Tennessee doesn't match up particularly well with Florida as it is. If Kyle Pitts had been healthy more, he might have been a Heisman candidate alongside with Kyle Trask, probably a first-round pick. So there are a lot of things about that don't look good for Tennessee. I do think the Vanderbilt game will be rescheduled. I'm less convinced that the Tennessee Texas A&M game will be rescheduled. We'll see. But the SEC is reworking all those schedules to make sure that interdivisional contests take place more so than the crossover contest. So I think there is priority to get Tennessee Vanderbilt scheduled ahead of Tennessee Texas A&M. And if you're Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt, especially if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you don't want to think about, and I'm sure he doesn't think about losing to Vanderbilt, but that would be coaches who lose consistently to Vanderbilt don't last at Tennessee.
I'm a John Bryce from Football Scoop.
Well, one more question, Bryce, with Liberty, and that they wouldn't qualify for a bowl bid. Kind of explain to me why that is, and then based off of where they're ranked and everything else. So I'm a little confused. And also, your thoughts on the at least top 10 in the rankings for the playoffs.
Yeah, great questions, Blaine. I'll start with the Liberty one first, and I'll get on my soapbox a little bit here. And if Liberty beats Coastal Carolina this weekend and preserves a one-loss season with already ACC wins against Syracuse and Virginia Tech, and then does not get a bowl win, also I think they've got a win over Western Kentucky along the way, and then would not get a bowl win, I would be in favor of just absolutely detonating the system. Not that it doesn't need to work. those kids, those coaches, that program, they deserve it. And SEC coaches were asked today, Jeremy Pruitt and Sam Pittman both, among others, on the SEC teleconference that I was on, about accepting bowl bids with really in Tennessee's case, a really terrible record. With Arkansas's case, a first-year program and a much more respectable record. Both coaches said they would jump at the opportunity to accept a bowl bid regardless of what their final season one-loss record was. I think that's significant. I understand their conference tie-ins and that the bowls try to protect themselves in that regard. We've already seen the Pinstripe Bowl go by the wayside this year. They're not going to host it in New York. Liberty would 100% deserve a bowl bid. It would be as bad as some of these other programs like UCF or whomever being shut out of the New Year's Six bowls in recent years and until that got changed. It would be just as big a travesty. The playoff rankings are going to be they're pretty standard this week. Next week is the big one because there's word out of Michigan today that the Wolverines have canceled their game this week against Maryland. There's a lot of belief from people that they may have to cancel their game next week against Ohio State. That obviously really craters Ohio State's chances for the college football playoff if that happens.
Well, sticking with that, one more to that, add to that is, you know, with the playoff committee and all, if you don't, they don't have a requirement on how many games, I'm thinking of Ohio State, to be played. I know they're at number four right now. So do you think that they would care the minimum requirements on how many games you actually play? Is six
I'll pose the question to you, Blaine. If Ohio State's 5-0 and Texas A&M is 9-1 or Florida is 10-1 or 9-2 or whatever it is, are you taking a team with five games as a body of work into the playoffs, or are you taking a team with 10 or 11 games as body of work into the playoffs? And
especially you're talking about the SEC.
Mm-hmm. You know, especially if that 5-0 team has not gotten to play one of its biggest rivals in Michigan and has not gotten to play in the conference championship where other teams have. Or you know, look at an Iowa State. Iowa State runs the table and somehow is a big
Man, I was going to ask him, has there ever been two teams, I'm sure it has, Mickey may know the answer, you know, these you guys are historians of the bowl games, ever been two teams from the same conference playing a bowl game? With all the craziness going on, could that possibly happen?
Hey, this year, Blaine, would you rule anything out?
No, I would not.
We got Bryce back. I think we got him back.
Oh, my bad,
Bryce. Welcome back in, John. Bryce?
Yeah, Bryce. I apologize. I don't know what happened there, but I was saying, would you take a 5-0 Ohio State over a potentially, I think, maybe a 9-2 Iowa State if Iowa State runs the table and wins the Big Ten championship or Big 12 championship, or maybe they would be 8-3 or a 9-2 Florida or a 9-1 Texas A&M? Are you going to take a team with a five-game body of work that may not include its biggest rival over a team with a better resume? Not the better team, because I think unequivocally Ohio State is one of the top four teams and probably one of the top two teams in college football in terms of talent and skill this year.
I'm John Bryce with Football Scoop.
All right, on the way out, in what's been a tough year for the Vols, Bryce, a crazy story last night involving Kevon Bennett, who'd really started to play really well for the team, just bad timing for a traffic stop, but there was a whole lot in that car when he got pulled over. There's a lot in there.
Whoa, yeah, biscuit!
Obviously, the program moved swiftly in removing Kevon from the Tennessee football program. Incredibly, incredibly unfortunate. I know some people that run in the that know some of the people that Kevon's been hanging around with, and I'm not excusing any behavior, but there probably should have been an intervention to have him running in some better circles. But look, I grew up in an era where his dad was an absolute terror for the Alabama Crimson Tide and the Buffalo Bills. It's a very proud family. It's a great family. So the important thing is that Kevon just gets this put behind him, learns a very, very difficult lesson from it, and proceeds ahead, because that's a really fabulous first-class family. And I got really fond memories of watching his dad play for Alabama.
Man. Bryce, good stuff, man. At John D. Bryce 1 is where people can find you on Twitter, writing for a whole bunch of places, especially Football Scoop. And we're about to really get deep into the silly season with all the coaching. And I would strongly recommend, Bryce, that people keep an eye on Football Scoop, because you guys cover all that stuff as well or better than anybody.
appreciate that, and I look forward to our next visit, and hope everyone had a great and healthy and safe Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir.
You got, man. Take care, bro.
You too. Hey, Blaine, how about Bill O'Brien being interested in the Vanderbilt job? Do you see that one coming from Bryce? Bill O'Brien.
No, I fell out my chair. I fell out my chair. I was like, oh, no, that is not something that I wanted to hear today.
I don't know if anybody at Vandy wants to hear that. I don't know if anybody wants to hear that. You'll want to hear this, though. Malcolm Butler today was asked about the defense being more aggressive, and he talked about that. So Malcolm Butler, about to tell you some stuff on Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone.